I don't know about you, but I'm looking ahead to the next election in 4 years. We're all exhausted. Notice how I said that with a New York accent. We're exhausted. Some of us are happy and some of us perhaps not so happy. We've already been witnessing some of that in the streets. Some winners, definitely some losers, and some, I guess, still waiting to find out whether they're a winner or a loser. A brother mentioned as a prayer request the favorable election results, and we'll see if they are favorable. I think at first blush, it may well appear that it's favorable, but we don't know. One of the things that struck my heart while the election was going on, knowing that I was speaking the Sunday after Election Day, was, would you preach and speak about either of the candidates from the pulpit? And as I thought about that and started to take a closer look, and the closer the election drew, it became more and more of a heart matter. I know we all understand certain things about the political parties, and we understand certain things about the way they tend to go. But all that said, the campaign showed us something that I think, if we're honest with ourselves, troubles us. We see a lot of division in our country. The Lord Jesus Christ, in quoting Abraham Lincoln, said, thank you for paying attention. The Lord Jesus Christ said, and Abraham Lincoln quoted it, a house divided against itself cannot stand. We are a divided country. We're seeing that playing itself out right now. We understand that some of that, there's an explanation for a lot of that, perhaps. But regardless of whatever the explanations are, it's out there. There's division, disagreement, sharp disagreement. There's discord, disunity, disharmony, strife, darkness. We saw during the campaign, there was a choice. There was a choice for corruption or a choice for coarseness. That was the choice that we were faced with. Corruption and coarseness. We see that there is a mistrust of all of our different agencies, all of the different institutions in our country, one by one, are being given over to a great deal of mistrust and distrust as more and more we see we are a people that can't count on things the way we used to. So, if you're like many, you're cautiously optimistic, but you realize America is a deeply divided nation. You realize that change in government is good from time to time and necessary from time to time, but that only masks or temporarily salves the real problem, a need for a change in the heart of men and women. And so, a couple of weeks ago, the Lord laid on me the verse that we're going to look at today, and that's found in Psalm 122. If you would turn there, Psalm 122. Initially, I was going to speak on the whole psalm. We might make mention of some of it, but I just wanted to focus our attention on the first verse of Psalm 122. And in the psalm, it says, a song of degrees of David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's interesting that we did that and we rehearsed some of this morning. And if you weren't here with us, we would encourage you to look into coming to the morning meeting, the breaking of bread meeting, the Lord's Supper, the worship service, the chief meeting of the brethren, the one meeting where we get together with like-minded people and bring forth worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our occupation for all eternity will be to do just that and nothing else. Everything will be done as an act of worship for Him. Every thought we have, every word we say, every action we take, every motivation we exhibit will be all for the purpose of worshiping Him. And so we encourage you to begin practicing for that great day when we will be with Him forever in heaven and forever and ever. Amen. Be with our Lord and worship Him and serve Him. Well, the person who wrote this hymn is David. By inspiration of God's Spirit, as all of Scripture is inspired by God's Holy Spirit, that's what we believe. And we believe the inspiration of God's Spirit leads us to His truth. Apart from God and apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no truth. And so we need truth. And in order for us to understand truth, we must have God's Spirit residing within us who will guide us into all truth. And all that truth will ultimately find as its source the Lord Jesus Christ. For He, Lord Jesus Christ said, will testify of Me. So the Lord Jesus Christ would speak to us this morning. Not me. That's why I have a whole lot of Scripture and not a whole lot of comments. If you would, our first Scripture is going to be found in 2 Samuel and 2 Samuel chapter 6. And it deals with this idea of being glad when he went into the house of the Lord. David in the Psalm says, I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Some people were glad after Election Day. Some people weren't. But you know, even if you were glad, it's tempered. It's a wait and see, right? We're going to see what's going to happen. We're all hopeful, but we'll have to wait and see. We know how these things have worked out before. We've had a Supreme Court in our country that was 5-4 in favor of everything we've wanted or we profess to want. And yet, we know some of the decisions they have made in recent times have not been in keeping with God's Word. So what have we voted for? I know, I understand what we voted for. We voted for perhaps what we feel is the best possible outcome. But that outcome remains to be seen. And we've already seen sometimes where our votes have not always led to acceptable outcomes. We've been disappointed. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, the ark of God is outside the city. And David wants to bring it in. And initially he commissions some people to bring it in and they make a mess of things. They do it the improper way, put it on a cart. And unfortunately, things did not work out. And there was a time of quiet thought and a quiet meditation. We'll pick up the reading at verse 12 of 2 Samuel chapter 6. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. With gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, He sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of trumpet, just like when we walked in here this morning, perhaps in our hearts. I think we were a little bit more quiet than that, out of respect to our neighbors. But the idea is the gladness that filled the hearts of those that were bringing the ark of God. The ark of God is the presence of God. That's where God promised to be with his people. And now David was bringing it into a resting place, into the city of David, Jerusalem, into the city of David, where this ark of God would be seated or sat down. And there the people would have a regular place to come and worship. And they did it with gladness. David was dancing with all of his might. And I can remember at an early meeting when I was early saved, talking about that verse and just thinking of him doing like the Snoopy dance with that nose just sticking up in the air and just dancing wildly, but not to draw attention to himself, but out of worship to God. The gladness that filled his heart. I remember before I was saved, I used to hang out with my friend in an apartment building. And I used to go there, and I was in my 20s. And I would do everything that somebody in their 20s, a young man, would do. We'd sit there and party and carry on. And we would watch movie after movie and talk about things that had no value to them and invariably do things that were pretty self-destructive. And then one day I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I started to meet with his people. And his people met in a building right across the street from that apartment building. Right across the street. And it was like an amazing thing to think, whenever I used to go into the meetings with the Lord's people, that I was all that time, for that many years, just a couple of hundred feet away from life, from truth, from understanding, from gladness. And I can remember one day putting my hand to the door with a bunch of people as we were walking into prayer meeting and just saying out loud, I love coming to this place. I love coming to this place. Perhaps you've had that feeling too, coming out to a meeting of God's people to meet with the Lord, especially at the breaking of bread meeting, where the worship, where the occupation of the believer is experienced in all of its fullness, as we have opportunity to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and who he is and how good and kind he's been to each and every one of us. And so David's dancing wildly, and let that mark your character from now on. Let that mark my character, Lord, that from now on, in your presence, I'm going to dance like mad in front of a world that is hoping an election will turn out to their favor. You know, he also records later on in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, sort of sums up the celebration that took place. And it's actually part of two Psalms, Psalm 105 and 106. And we're not going to take a look at the whole chapter, but in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning at verse 23, we read, Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols. We spoke about that this morning. But the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Gladness. Let it mark our occupation. My clock isn't working. Okay. I'm looking down at the clock. I use my iPhone. I'm terrible with these things. If it buzzes, you know, sorry. I tried to mute it. But I set my watch, my clock here, and I'm looking down and I'm like, wow, I still have plenty of time, and it wasn't moving. So, I mean, I couldn't. So gladness. In Psalm 20, David is praying for a victory, for a battle. The psalmist is praying that there would be a victory, and specifically in verses 1 and 2 in Psalm 20, he specifies the expectation of where that help is to come. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. God, where God is, the house of the Lord. Let that be where my strength comes from. Psalm 21, he records the results of the victory. The king shall joy in the strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness, thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days for ever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. The presence of God brings gladness. In 2 Chronicles, Hezekiah reinstitutes the Passover. And the Lord hearkened unto Hezekiah and healed the people. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. Gladness attends the meeting of God's people. Gladness. Nehemiah, when he was dedicating the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, in Nehemiah chapter 12. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. God wants his people to be glad. He wants his people to rejoice and be glad. In Psalm 122, our featured verse, in the second verse, it tells about the standing. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. The gladness comes in part from the location, the proximity to the Lord, the proximity to the presence of God. Gladness. If you would, turn over to Ephesians chapter 6 for a moment. Just want to contrast the standing with gladness in the presence of God, in the sanctuary, in the worship of God's people. Now, our standing today is a little bit different. It says, beginning at verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Somebody had mentioned when we were talking about the election results, the darkness. We're in a spiritual battle right now, and we stand. We're in God's presence, but when we're out there battling, it's tough. The spiritual warfare is tough. It's we don't even realize. As much as it says the half had not been told about God, I don't think the half has been understood by the believer of just how great the spiritual forces of darkness are out there. They're powerful. We're starting, I think, more and more to begin to understand this in our country when we talk to people, and it seems that there's no reasoning, there's no way to understand, there's no way to convey truth, there's no light. The spiritual darkness is great. And so while we do have standing before God, we also realize that that standing is in armor. In armor. In Psalm 100 and verse 2, we are commanded to serve with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. And just by way of once more acknowledging that work crew that came out last Saturday. That was I don't think I'm alone, but I think a number of people were very, very, very encouraged at the turnout we had. It was an encouraging thing. I just want to thank everybody who were here. If you were praying about it, thank you for that as well. One of the things, I think, if you weren't here, one of the things you missed, there was gladness in serving. People were enjoying working. I work around my house, and so many leaves. Where are all these leaves coming from? But I was here serving, and it was a little different. First of all, I had help. I mean, I was somewhat of a help to you before the back started giving out, which happened right after biscuits, I believe. Shortly after biscuits, you lift up those biscuits, they're kind of like full. But the idea is that we were all encouraged greatly, and there was gladness. People were working with gladness. And I encourage you, and I'm just going to put in a little word. We were joking around about it before. We have the announcement still up about chapel cleanup day. We're going to have another one of these in the springtime. So let me just make an announcement right now for the opportunity to come out and help and be a part of that. It was an enjoyable day. It was an enjoyable day. Oh, and by the way, we were all out of here by probably 1 o'clock or so. We were done. So we still had plenty of our Saturday left for ourselves if we had things to do. So, and that's a good thing. In a messianic psalm, in Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9, David, by inspiration, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Now, I was thinking about this verse, and I was saying, yep, there's another verse about gladness. But I was thinking about a bunch of years ago, there was a movie made called Jesus of Nazareth. And it was one of the many movies that pop up from time to time around Easter time. And it shows the days of the Lord Jesus Christ and traces from His birth to Calvary and then to resurrection. But I remember in particular, after reading this verse, there was one scene in the movie where the Lord Jesus Christ, the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, enters into Jerusalem. And the look on the face of the actor is like wonder. And I just can't help but think that there was probably some of that in the Lord Jesus Christ when He came into Jerusalem, because that's where God's presence was. And what must have gone through His heart when He came into the place where God's presence was? It must have thrilled His soul to be there and to just be filled with gladness. Well, we know that this side of glory, there's going to be some trouble. The Lord Jesus Christ said, in the world you will have tribulation. You will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He says this, ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. We were looking earlier in this morning's meeting, and we were considering how some of the people plot a vain thing, and they say there is no God. And for a season, they might rejoice and laugh and sneer and whatever. And we, when we hear that, it tears at our soul a little bit. It sort of renders some of the gladness muted somewhat to know that they're mocking our Lord the way they're doing that. by doing that. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was dying on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," you kind of understand what he's saying. He's like, they have no idea what they're doing. One brother said this morning, "I can't understand at my age, I can't understand how somebody could not accept, would not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. How is that possible?" The world right now would rejoice. Back to our verse. "I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" The second part of this verse, let's emphasize another part. "I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" You know, the idea, if you also look at verses 3 and 4 of the psalm, "Whither the tribes go up," I missed verse 3, "Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord unto the testimony of Israel." And the thought in these verses is the idea that this is a corporate going up. There's a gathering here. This is not like an individual going, but there is a group going. And the idea is they're all going for the same purpose. There is unity and there is fellowship. Look also at verse 8, "For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, 'Peace be within thee.'" The idea is, the emphasis is on corporate worship, a corporate gathering. Hebrews tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. The gladness, the joy comes in the shared experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved souls to bring them together. The tribes, the people were scattered. The people were scattered at the Tower of Babel. People were sent out here and there, and there was a complete breakdown in what God had intended. God had intended you and me to live together, to live with one another, to share in a joy of the Lord. In Exodus chapter 19, in verses 5 and 6, we read, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." He's looking to bring people together, to join together corporately. Perhaps one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is in 1 Samuel chapter 18. It's a story of Jonathan and David. Now, I don't know, Jonathan, if this is why I think this is why I named you Jonathan. If I start crying here, forgive me. "It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." That's what God wants for people. He wants our hearts knit together in love. He wants us to be one in Christ. He wants us to be in communion with each other as we commune with Him. His desire is not to have a fractured people, a divided nation, a disparate group of people. One of the problems that people were voting on was the idea that we see America's sort of like identity is being fractured, and people, different groups are clamoring for this and that, and there's a separation and a breakdown. That's what causes breakdown, is when we're divided. Our strength is in diversity. No, our strength is in unity. Unity in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where strength comes from. Strength is in diversity. No. That might be just like a nice characteristic, but that's not where you're going to get strength. That's where you're going to get disagreement. Well, I think we should do this. And so God would bring us together. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, "For thou hast confirmed to thyself," this is after David has learned, after telling the Lord he was going to build, "Lord, I'm building myself a house. You want one?" David was pretty ambitious, and the Lord said, "No, David, that's not for you to do." And he caused David to understand that while I will build you a house, I will build you a house forever, you will not be the one that will build me a house. Your offspring will. And it says this, "For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, a people. And thou, Lord, art become their God." Psalm 133. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." In unity. In Ephesians chapter 2, we are builded together for inhabitation of God through the Spirit. Elsewhere in Ephesians, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." There is one body, one Spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, I'm sure the Lord can do a wonderful work in our lives if we're all here and there, home, out on the road, whatever. But He can sure do a nicer work, I think, if we're all in proximity, logistically associated with each other, in context with each other, working together with each other, side by side with each other, worshiping together with each other. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of some. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about the unity of the faith. He says, "He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." This is the work of the assembly. This is the work till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, it probably wouldn't surprise us to believe that there were those that voted for one candidate and those that voted for another candidate. Right? We wouldn't be surprised. But aren't you surprised? I mean, aren't you surprised? There's a verse that says, "Is Christ divided?" Aren't you surprised? You know, how is that? How is it that there are Christians that do this in their gathering and Christians who do that in their gathering? Aren't you surprised? What's going on there? And the only thing that I can conclude to reconcile that is that He's bringing people to an understanding of Himself. This group understands this. This group understands that. And He's going to eventually bring it all together. And now we're all going to fully understand. We're all going to know, even as we are known. And right now, unfortunately, the testimony of God in Christ is sort of, there are sort of voices that shade things differently and that present things differently. And I think that the world uses that as an opportunity to say, "See, you can't even agree with each other." How many times have you heard that? Well, if that's true, then why do they do that? Well, how come this is going on over there? And so we pray. I think that's all we can do. We pray that God will come and bring us all to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When we get to that point, there's not going to be any differentiation. When we get to that point, probably going to be in heaven, but when we get to that point, there will not be anyone who will say, "What about those people over there?" Elsewhere in Ephesians, he says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded." God shall reveal even this unto you. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, so one of the commentators was pointing out the fact that that's David talking. And David is the king. And somebody's telling the king, let's go into the house of the Lord. And David's not sort of saying like, yeah, I know. He's not acting all lordly about it. He was glad about it. All right, let's go. I've got a great idea. Let's do that. That sounds good. You said that joke? Great, let's go. So it's not about David acting all, you know, that he somehow has to be a superior. He's a co-worker. He's a co-worshipper. And finally, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Ultimately, it's the place that brings the gladness. And it's the place that gathers the people. It's the house of the Lord. It's the house of the Lord. God's presence. One of the verses that stuck out with me was actually turned into a song by a couple of the musicians at the chapel I used to attend up in Palisades Park, New Jersey. And they used to sing this, and basically they would sing the refrain of the song, which was these verses from Numbers chapter 6 over and over again. And it was actually the Lord telling the priests what to say to the people. In Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 26, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord grant you his presence. The Lord grant you his presence. Believer, the Lord has granted you his presence. Amen. Amen. We have God's presence with us. He has granted us his presence. Psalm 16, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. A famous, familiar verse for many of us, Psalm 27. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One of the groanings that happens around here each Lord's Day morning is the idea that we're there in worship. We're there in full throat worship. It's what we've been waiting for all week. And when we come, as great as it is, it's just like the longing to be in his presence is even greater. It's just to be able one day to know that one day we'll be doing that in his presence is so far greater. Psalm 84. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord, the house of God. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Listen to David in Psalm 42:5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Seek God's presence. Seek God's presence. God's presence, Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Times, you know, thinking of that hymn, O soul, are you wearied and troubled? You need times of refreshing, you need to go into the presence of the Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Psalm 65, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. That's another thing that perhaps we should have mentioned. We don't have this privilege unless the Father draw us to Him. The Father draws us. No man can come to the Son except the Father, He draw him. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. Of course you're going to have gladness if you're satisfied in that place. You come into the goodness of God's house, it's satisfying. Listen to what it says in Zephaniah. This was interesting. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. One day we're going to come into His presence and the Father is going to be singing, rejoicing that you're there. Imagine. Imagine. I'm sure all of these thoughts were the first and foremost on your mind as soon as the election results came in. One final scripture in John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, in my Father's house. That's where you will be. That's where I'm going. That's where I will take you, in my Father's house. Now, initially, as I was thinking about speaking after Election Day, I was going to use this verse, these verses, and to sort of contrast them with some of the promises made by our politicians. We're going to clean the swamp or drain the swamp. We're going to build the wall. We're going to jobs. They're going to be huge. We're going to have all kinds of things. We're going to have this and that and the other thing. And they all sounded great. And yes, you got my vote, that sort of thing. But the fact of the matter is, you contrast that with who's speaking here. Who is speaking here? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't know Him, you don't know the veracity of what He's saying. You don't know the reliability of what He is saying. You do not know that you can count on what He is saying. You do not know that you can base your entire life on what He is saying here. What He is saying here is, this is your future in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What He is saying is done. What He is saying is sure. All that we're waiting for is for time to run itself out. And once it does, absence in the body, presence in the Lord. Presence with the Lord. Now those are promises you can vote on. Those are promises you can vote on. So what's the point of all of this, these histrionics, Dave? You were gesticulating quite a bit with your hands again. We noticed that. What's going on? The ultimate goal, I think, is gladness of the soul, elation of the soul, joy in the soul. I think that's what everybody wants. That's what everybody voted for. They were voting for, I want it better. I want something good. I want a life I can raise my family in. I can sort of grow old in this place, and it's going to be fine, and it's going to be wonderful, and I don't have to worry about threats, foreign or domestic, and I don't have to worry about like how my kids are going to do, because they're going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. People were looking for and hoping for comfort, joy, gladness in their souls. No election can give you that. No election can give you that. Only God can give you that. What were they voting for? I want a country that stands on principle, that believes in the things that they used to believe in. I want a country that I can be proud of. I want a place where I can live and I don't have to worry about being afraid of my neighbors and or the country suddenly switching over to speaking foreign languages and all kinds of things. And I just want a place of safety and security. No election can guarantee you that. No election can guarantee you that. Only God can provide you a refuge, safe and sure. And ultimately, what were we voting for? I want a person that I can count on, a person of integrity, somebody who I can place my confidence in, somebody that I can trust, somebody that I know when they speak something, they're going to carry it out. They're going to put their words into actions. What they say is what they mean, and what they mean is what they do. That's what I voted for. We're human, folks. And we work and we live in a system that is filled with humans and will always be corrupted to a greater or lesser degree. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that you can count on. He's the one person of impeccable character. He's the incomparable one. He is the one that you need to turn to in times of trouble, in times of wealth, in times of prosperity. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And you know what? Today I'm pretty glad to be here too. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you as we turn from our world of worry and confusion and division and strife, that we turn our attention to focus on you. And oh Lord, how good is it to be in your courts? How good is it to be in the place of your choosing? How glad we are to be here under the sound of your word, being led by your Spirit to consider your truth. And as we contemplate it, Lord, we see that what you have in store for us is an eternity in your presence, where gladness, joy unspeakable, is waiting. Father, we thank you for these thoughts. We would also consider, Father, that there might be one here today who has not yet come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, has not yet understood his work on the cross of Calvary, how he laid down his life a ransom for many, how he died to save sinners, how he died to save that one who is here today searching. Lord, help them end their search here and now. Bring them to the end of themselves that they might beat upon their chest and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. For you will, Lord. You are a God of mercy and grace and great love. And you will forgive them of their sins, remember them no more, and turn their heart toward thee. They receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Father, for the rest of us, we pray that as we go forward the next days, weeks, months, years, for as much time as you give us, that, Lord, our hearts will be ever glad in your presence. Forgive us, Father, for forgetting the fact that, Lord, you're always with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. And, Lord, when our faces hang down and are sad and we're walking that Emmaus road by ourselves wondering what has happened, Lord, cheer our hearts. Be kind and gentle to us. You know our frames. You know we're dust. We thank you for all those times past when you've done that. We count on that to continue. But we pray, Lord, that you might grow us to be more like your Son, to be more long enduring and long-suffering and filled with the fruit of your Spirit, that we might be a testimony to the world of the power, the work, the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.